Reading tonight from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 through and including verse 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. And let's pray.
After a prayer like that, it must be my turn. Are you sick and tired of hearing about politics and elections? I thought I would take one more whack at it. But I'm hoping and praying it'll be quite different than what you've experienced till now. The scripture that was read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, is a greeting that Peter makes to the saints, to those that are believing in Jesus Christ. But I would like to back up a little bit, because I need to clarify something. I personally have made statements like, God is not a Democrat, or God is not, doesn't have democracy. And I would like to go back on that. And I think after the message tonight, you will understand what I'm saying. God is actually quite democratic, but He's also a dictator. There's no way around it. And He can be, because He created this place, planet. He can do what He wants. However, there is one soothing fact that let us never forget. He is perfectly just and fair, and He is perfectly true. Wow, you can't get better than that. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, there is an earlier greeting that Peter makes, and the subheading in my Bible, it says, greetings to the elect pilgrims. Greetings to the elect pilgrims. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Oh, so do we know now who he is greeting? He's greeting the Jews that have been dispersed from Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been annihilated. And these people, they have been dispersed, and Peter is addressing them. And he says, elect, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. These are elected people. In sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And they were scattered in the dispersion. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. I don't know about you, but I cannot cease to give God thanks for the peace and restful life that we have here in Canada. It's unbelievable. You turn on the news and you hear of the floods and the famines Just recently, I heard now on our local TV, I don't know if they ever reported, but I heard a TV on one station of the absolute horrendous famine that is happening in Sudan. Not hundreds, not thousands, millions of people dying of starvation. Wow. Anyway, I got to carry on with my message. Now, I want to touch on another election. And listen, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 4. Here's an election. And it's actually an election made by God the Father. He has elected somebody. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Wow. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. I like these next couple of lines. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth. Wow. And the coastlands will wait for his law. This is God the Father telling us that he has elected Jesus to do this. That's his election. His son, his only begotten son, he's going to do this. And he's not going to tire. And he's not going to get discouraged. He's going to get this done. And good thing it wasn't just a four-year session. It went way longer than that. And we are beneficiaries of this fantastic election. Isn't that great? Wow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, it's actually an extension of the scripture that was read earlier. Now, Peter says, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence. What does that mean? To give all diligence. Your full attention, your complete focus, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if, that word is kind of big to me because I'm in the business of preparing my lesson for tomorrow in Drumheller Penn. And it's Romans chapter 8. It's one of the iffiest chapters in the Bible. The word if is continually in that chapter, especially in the early first half of it. If. And then when I give it some thought, see, it's not God that's the iffy one. It's always man that's the iffy one. Now here it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Whoa. All diligence before and now even more diligent. Listen to this. To make your call and election sure. Has God called you? If he has called you, then it's your turn to make an election. Have you elected him? The Father elected him. And now he has called, I know he called me. And yes, I have made my election sure. God forbid that Satan would ever get any kind of a hold on my life. Zero. We have a Spanish guy in my class in Drumheller, and I know the two Spanish words, no más. That means no more. No more sin. Make your call and election sure. If there's somebody here tonight that has never heard the call of Jesus, I believe you're hearing it now. He is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I tell you what, if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, your soul is not at rest. It's a fact. Come. Make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Isn't that great? Yeah. Majority of people here, we have some silver in our hair. And when that silver gets really bright, then you all of a sudden have a tendency to stumble over little pebbles. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, I have no desire to stumble, do you? I have no desire to stumble. I want to make my election sure. I want to be sure-footed. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. On Sunday, I preached in the Eagle Hill Church, and I spoke about the kingdom of God. The greatest kingdom anywhere. And Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, it's already in your heart. Do you know that? Is the kingdom of God in your heart? I sit sometimes in front of the television and I watch a little bit of the news, and it's, well, a little bit of the news is always 100% about the election in the U.S. And I'm thinking, you know what? If people got half, even 10% as excited about the kingdom of God as they do about the kingdom of the United States of America, I'll tell you what, this planet would be a different place. We would hear more than just on Miracle Channel and Daystar. Would we hear people? We would hear prime ministers and presidents. They were talking about, you know what we need to do? People, all of the people of the nation, we need to get close to God. But we don't hear that. We don't hear that. We have an entrance into such an abundant, everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, let's go into Romans chapter 11, verse 25 to 32. And there it talks a little bit about how it is that we as Gentiles, is there a Jew here? Is there a Jew in this place? None. All Gentiles. How it is that we as Gentiles got to hear this blessed message. Now, earlier in the when it talked about the election that God the Father had of his son Jesus, there it actually talked about the fact that he is going to... let me just see if I can find this here quickly. Isaiah 42. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. That's back in Isaiah. He says that. And now, how is it that we got to hear about this even though we are not of the Jewish people, we are not of the God-chosen people? Here, let's read it. Romans 11, 25 to 32. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. See, the Jewish people, they are quite blind about how it is that the Gentiles are getting the blessed gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies. I think I mentioned it here before. I asked my friend who has traveled and taken many tours into Israel. I said, John, can you tell me what percentage of people in Israel believe in Jesus? He said, yeah.
about 1%. They don't believe in Jesus. Is it sad? He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for you Gentiles' sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Oh no, God loves the Jews. Let's never forget it. He loves the Jews, and we need to love the Jews. And my prayer in most cases for the Jews is, Lord, lift the veil, so they can see, so they will recognize and realize who Jesus is. Anyway, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you are once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, and so these also have now been disobedient, but through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, but that he might have mercy on all. And that speaks very clearly of what Paul describes in Isaiah, in Ephesians, concerning the church. When Jesus came and the church started, the body of Christ, that church was available not only to the Gentiles, but also to the Jews. And he said, Paul says this, now he has made out of the two one. I just find it fascinating and exciting to think of what God is doing. It looks pretty messy now, doesn't it? And it'll get messier. I believe it will get messier. But those of us who are believers and do study the Word from time to time, and we get a little bit of a picture of what may very well be going on. Judgment is coming. And I think that it is wise for us to make sure that we be aware of the fact that things can turn quite, well, we like to talk about, well, it's going south, okay? It can go bad very quickly here. And I personally am preparing myself. I said to someone recently that I believe the United States of America, they are very close to being on the verge of another civil war. If that happens, that's not going to be good. And so, let us rejoice and be thankful for the life that we now live in peace. But it may not always be that way. Are we prepared to suffer, even partially as Christ suffered on our behalf? Are we still going to stand firm? Are we going to make sure that our call and election is sure? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 10, it says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Okay, rejected by men. It was the Jewish people. They rejected him completely. No. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Remember in Isaiah, it said, God the Father elected him. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation. He's talking about the church here now. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm going to get excited. Cameron, he's right on the control. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God,
who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I've heard more than enough inmates say to me, Rick, all I want is justice. And I will tell, no, you don't. You want mercy, not justice. I said, if we get justice, you and me, we get hellfire. That's what. We want mercy. And of course, with that, coming from God, it's justice. Perfect justice. In Romans 11, 5 to 10, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Isn't that great? We live in a time of grace. Grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The church, in this case, and he talks about the elect, he's talking about the church. The elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs always. Matthew 24. How many of you have any idea what it says in Matthew 24? Anybody? Matthew 24? Yeah, we're getting close to the end here, aren't we? Huh? Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so there's going to be tribulation. Are we having some tribulation now? I'm not suggesting that we are in the great tribulation yet. But God is showing us a little bit about tribulation, isn't he? Not maybe where we live, like, sometimes we think it's kind of troublesome when it snows when we still would like sunshine. But really, we're not having tribulation yet. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up in the morning. There were two words on my mind. One was rest, and the other was peace. And I thought, how wonderful is this? Rest, peace. And as I pondered, meditated upon this for a while, then all of a sudden, the word angels came into my mind. Angels. And that really touched my heart. And then the Spirit of God said to me, Rick, I have many angels. And I began to weep. I began to weep. He doesn't have 24. He doesn't have 100. He has millions. And they are real. They know where I live. They know where you live. There are guardian angels. Angels that will do our Heavenly Father's bidding on your behalf. Wow. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet,
and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then, in closing, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28. You see, God elected his son to come and run or do with planet Earth what he decides to do. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. That's those that have elected Christ to be their Savior. They now are the elect. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God, or when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, Jesus does this. This is the end. This is the end of the project. I like to think of planet Earth as a project that God decided, I'm going to do this. And he created the planet, and he created everything on it. Him and the Son and the Spirit, they were all there, and that's what they did. And this was a project. And you know what? You and I, we are part of the project. And he's going to put an end. Jesus, when it's all done, he's going to put an end to the project. That's the end of the project. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. Now Jesus is going to become subject once again to the Father. He's going to hand it all. There it is. This is the end of the project. That God may be all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not get too unnerved about what happens in the elections here on earth. Let's get excited about those people that elect Jesus as their Savior. That's something to get excited about. Be the elect. Encourage others to elect Jesus as their Savior. Be part of the project, close to Jesus Christ, close to God, following him, focusing on him. You know what? I haven't lost one wink of sleep over the election in the United States of America. Have you? I don't lose any sleep over. When I was at the Pilgrim Hotel in Cairnport this a month ago or so, and I noticed a bunch of people there wearing hats and so on and so forth, and I introduced myself, and I found out that these people were from Texas and Carolina and Wisconsin and all over the U.S. And I found out that there was a horse show not far from there, and this is where these people were there. And so I asked them, I said, do you know who's going to be the president of the United States of America? And they said, one of two evils. That's what they said. I said, I know who's going to be the president. And they were curious. I said, it'll be the person that is going to play out God's plan to the letter. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget. God is the ruler over the just and the unjust. Over the wicked and over the righteous. He rules it all. Let's be in close contact with him. Let's make sure of the call and election that is ours. God bless you, folks. Real good.